Psalm 16, verse 11, started this thought last Sunday. The verse says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I mentioned the fact that when we were little, my brother and I, we lived in Newbern, and we'd come up around Thomasville and Asheboro in this area because all of our family was around here. And when we would drive those old cars up that old road before they put the bypasses and the four lanes and the all that's involved, you literally had to go through the city of Raleigh. And to us, you got to understand, we're little boys and don't know much about big cities. My mama always drove. My daddy never was able to do that or even look for directions or anything. He just kind of rode. And me and my brother had to watch for the Highway 70 signs. And as we went through that big city of Raleigh and all those back and forth turns, and we'd try and look and help our mama get through those turns. It was a traumatic experience for us all, I promise you. And we ever saw the outskirts on the other side of Raleigh, we'd kind of have a little bit of relief. But then they built the bypass to our delight. But getting around Raleigh, getting from the north side to the south side or even east to west or whatever is one thing. Because to be honest, you can take the bypass or you can go down the main streets even today, and you'll find your way through from one side to the other and probably get to your destination. Using a bypass nowadays is pretty much fine, probably better for you. But if we're trying to bypass God, we're in trouble. It says there, thou wilt show me the path of life. There's one path that's right. There's one way to his blessings. There's one way to enjoy what he has for us. And just to make sure we understand that, he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He said the only way you can find real pleasure, real happiness, real fulfillment is in his presence. Therefore, if you want him, you got to go his way. Bypassing God won't work. I mentioned last week that there are sinners who are searching who may try to bypass God. If you're searching for the Lord, if you're searching for right living, if you're searching for the way to heaven, you can't bypass God and get there. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So sinners who are searching may try to bypass God. And then I mentioned briefly the saved who are scared who may try to bypass God. I mean by that, sometimes saved people get a burden for lost people, and they should. And they're afraid or they're scared they're going to go to hell, and they'll try to make them get saved and force them under conviction or say something to persuade them. But if you're bypassing the conviction of God, you'll never convince them. They will go to hell if they're not convicted. Then I thought about this. There are servants who are stressed that may try to bypass God. We are living in a difficult day. We are living in a day, if you care about the things of God and what's happening around you, you're going to face some troubling times. If you're a servant of God and you want to see God move, you want to see something real, you want to see people helped and lost souls saved and things improve spiritually. If you want to see something from heaven, If you want to see God use you, you're a preacher and you don't want to just spit out words. You want God to use you. You're a teacher and you want to influence people's lives spiritually. You want to see them getting it while you're teaching. You're a singer and you want people to worship the Lord while you're singing, and you want God to anoint you while you're singing. And you can see people getting helped and brokenhearted people encouraged and godly people worshiping. You want to see God move. I want to tell you, you're living in a difficult day. The preacher may preach and it seems like everybody's stoned. No one's touched or moved. Teacher may teach, and it seems like nobody's getting it. Singer may sing, and it seems like nothing's happening. Well, I want to tell you, if we're not careful in that kind of situation, we may try and start forcing something to happen. Preacher, I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to tell something on those preachers. A lot of reasons that we seem mad sometimes is because we preach and it seems like nobody's listening. And you want to see them moved and you want to see them changed and you want to see them helped and you preach your heart out and it seems like there's stone eyes and stone faces and nothing moves. And a lot of times that boils up inside and we as preachers are not careful. It'll make us mad when we're preaching and we're trying to make something happen because it isn't happening. And the teacher can do the same. The singer can do the same thing. Try and stir up the congregation. Stir up the audience. Get them clapping. Get them waving. Make something happen. I'll tell you what. We can bypass God if we're not careful. We can try and make it happen instead of going to God and saying, "Oh, God, I need your touch. Oh, God, we need you today." I think a lot of the reasons why there's so many of these spiritual gymnastic churches now, well, they got the pizzazz, and they got the lights, and they got the swaying, and they got the movement, and they got the action, but I wonder how much of the spirit they have. It's because they got weary of dead services, and they got weary of nothing happening so they can make something happen, but they're bypassing God in the process. And all the excitement's there, and the noise is there, and the thrill is there, but how much of it is the Spirit of God? I wonder, I could say more. But we need to realize, hey, as a servant of God, we can get stressed out. And when that happens, if we're not careful, we may try to bypass God and try and make something happen when nothing seems to be happening. But in Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able." He is the one who is able. And the Bible all the way through says to God, "Servants, you need my power. You need my touch. Without me, you can do nothing." Things, what Jesus said. And he meant what he said when he said that. And I have found out in myself I can do nothing. I can stomp and holler and snort and spit. I can get mad, get happy, beg or whatever. I can bribe you or whatever. If God's not in it, I'm wasting my time and yours. Hey, servant who is stressful may try to bypass God. My verse I was just about to say in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It is his power in us and through us that gets the job done. I said, it is his power in us and through us that gets the job done. We cannot bypass that. There is no other way. Oh, we need to be intelligent, and we need to be dedicated, and we need to polish and do the best we can. But all of that is void and all of that is empty if we do not have His touch on us as we try and serve the Lord. Paul said in Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Paul said, when I preach, it's not me. When I witness, it's not me. When I talk to somebody, it isn't me. It's His power strengthening me. The word strengthen means to enable. He enables us. He works with us and through us to accomplish His will. That's why a preacher who can stomp and holler and snort, God can use, or a man who stands silently, almost quietly behind the pulpit and just barely gets above a whisper. And God can use either one. Jonathan Edwards, on purpose, stood behind the pulpit and read his sermons in a monotone voice because he did not want anything, even any chance of the flesh being involved. But God used him mightily as he preached his messages. They would hang onto the poles, afraid they were going to go to hell before he got through preaching. I want to tell you, there's something about God's power we cannot bypass. And if you're a servant of God that stressed this morning, I want to tell you, your hope and your only hope is to go to the God of power and have Him touch you and anoint you as you are serving Him in this late day of apostasy, this late day of lukewarmness. We need His touch. We cannot bypass the touch of God and expect anything from heaven. 2 Corinthians 9:8. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. I sure do like all these alls. Gonna start again. I like it so good. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He said this. God has what you need, and you can't get by without Him. Elijah lived in a day of apostasy. Elijah lived in a day of idolatry. And he confronted those people who said they knew God and said, how halt you between two opinions? And he confronted the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Jezebel, and he said, let's just have a contest. And you know the story, they made their sacrifice and they cried all day to their gods, and not even a lightning bug came flying by. And then Elijah set up the sacrifice and he prayed a 64-word prayer. My paraphrase of that prayer was this: God, do it to it. And God did it to it. Elijah said, I know I need more than my persuasion. I know I need more than just some mean prophet. I need His touch. And when he went to God, God did it to it. I sure would love to have some services where just God just does it to us. And some preachers where God just does it through it. And some singers and teachers and Christians where God just does it through us. That'll never happen if we try and bypass Him. My persuasion, yours, won't work. My manipulation won't work. My meanness, my sweetness, my begging, my sugar, my vinegar, it'll not work. But His touch will. I say first, there may be sinners who are searching. There may be saved who are scared. There may be servants who are stressed. I say next, there may be saints who are struggling who may try to bypass God. I believe there's saints, Christians everywhere, struggling. There's some who want to be happy. Being happy in the right way is not wrong. But there's some who are struggling, searching for a happiness. Everybody wants to be happy, by the way. No one in their right thinking wants to be sad. No one enjoys gloom and despair. Everybody wants to be happy, but there are some saints who are wanting to be happy, and they're struggling about their lack of happiness and contentment and fulfilling. And if they're not careful, they'll try and bypass God to find what they think is happiness. I'm going to tell you, the only thing that's going to make us happy is being saved and being in God's will. There's some who are trying to be happy without obeying God, without walking in His will, without listening to Him and obeying Him, going their own path. The psalmist said, "Thou wilt show me thy path of life." You'll show me the way you want me to go. And He shows us, and we don't go that way, we'll not find happiness. There's some saved people. There's some saints who are struggling, looking for happiness, but they're trying to bypass God. They're trying to find it in other places other than God's will. Psalmist said, Psalm 119, verse 2, "Blessed," which means happy, "blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." You know what that means? It means happy are the ones who search for God and always do His will. Happy are the ones who search for God and always do His will. And anything short of that, anything different of that, will not work. We're trying to bypass God and find happiness. It won't work. Saints who are struggling, they try to find happiness. No, said again, the only way to be happy is God's will. He said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 19, verse 8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." He said what God said in that book is right. And by the way, what He said in that book will make you happy. It'll make your heart rejoice. I said again, probably will begin again before I finish. The only way anybody in this world can be happy is to be saved and to follow this book. And if we bypass that, we will not be happy no matter what. Dissatisfied, discontent, disappointed, discouraged, disheartened. Oh, yeah, but not happy. He says, "I'm going to try and be happy, and I don't worry about what God said." Well, just brace for heartaches, all I can say. Doing God's will is the only thing that's going to make us happy. There are some who are struggling. There's some saints who are struggling. They're trying to find happiness, and it's evading them. They're not happy. Well, have you bypassed God? Have you tried it His way? Some want to be happy. Some want to be helpful. I thought about this. There's some believers, bless their heart, who truly want to help others. They really want to be a blessing to someone and aid them getting closer to God. And if that person that they're concerned about is not doing the Lord's will or they're not doing right, that person who is concerned wants to help them. And that's a commendable desire. But I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of times you can't get people to do what you want them to do. Wives, huh? Am I telling you the truth? Well, a head shake's about as good as a half of an amen. You ought to have said, "Amen, preacher, preach it," because I'm on your side right now. I'll be preaching against you in a minute. You better amen while you can. If you want your husband to do right, if you're not careful, you'll bypass God and try and nag him. Finally, we get a man to whisper amen. That wasn't worth nothing. He just said that because he's scared not to. He'll be sorry before he gets home. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. A lot I can say about that, I sure won't. And a good desire in the buzzard probably is doing wrong and needs the information you want to share and needs a change in his life. But if you try and nag him, I'm going to tell you what, it ain't going to work. You're trying to bypass God. But wait a minute, ladies. What about that husband that thinks he's king of the roost and thinks you're supposed to take his orders? And since you're the weaker vessel, when he demands something, you're supposed to come on and snap to his command. And so he tries to bark out those orders and tell you what to do. And something inside of you says, no. I'm going to tell you something. It won't work, husbands. But even us Christians trying to help another Christian, even outside the family, trying to help them to do the right thing because they need to change, and it's right, and it's commendable for us to have the desire, but if we're not careful, we're trying to make it happen. We're trying to convince them. We're trying to force them, and we're bypassing God the whole time. How about this? Ladies, instead of nagging that buzzard that ain't going to help anyway, why don't you go to God and say, Lord, you know my husband, and I love him. Lord, there's some things in his life that I know you're not pleased with. Oh, God, will you touch my husband? Will you make him what he needs to be? Or husbands, Lord, will you touch my wife? Please, God, you touch her. And you know what will happen eventually? Instead of us nagging them and bugging them and commanding them, and they may finally do it. They might finally, because you bug them to death, go ahead and do what you want them to do. But it won't be because they want to, and it won't be because they love you, and it won't be because it's right. They'll do it because they want you to. Hush! But when you talk to God about it, he starts working on that heart, and he shows them there's an error. He shows them there's need for change. He shows them they're doing wrong. They'll start changing, not because you bug them, but because God got their heart. And when they do right then, it'll be for the right reason. It'll be the Spirit of God changing them because you didn't bypass God. Hey, there's some saints who are struggling. They want to be happy. Can't find happiness. Trying to bypass God. Trying to be helpful. Could I say it like this? I'm done. There's some saints struggling because they want to be holy. Anybody got a problem with being holy? I didn't expect you to raise your hand. Anybody got a problem? Anybody find it difficult to do what's right? To get this flesh under control, to do God's will always, to be in his will, pleasing him, honoring him, saying no to flesh, saying no to the devil. Anybody struggling about that? Yes, I am, and you are too. So if we ain't careful, we'll say, I am going to do better. I am not going to let this happen again. I am going to grit my teeth and determine within myself, I am going to do better. And it'll last about 15 minutes. Or if you're really good, about 30. And we'll find ourselves doing the same thing again. Because flesh cannot be conquered by our flesh. flesh cannot be conquered by ourselves. We're trying to bypass God when we try to live right in our own strength, and He will make sure it doesn't work. It won't work anyway, but God will make sure we see how much we need Him. But I want to tell you one thing. If you'll go to God and say, Lord, I am rotten to the core, and I cannot do better. I can't do better. I am not capable of doing better. I beg you to help me to realize you have empowered me, and I have your power and your touch. I am your child. God, please help me to appropriate what you've given me. Oh, God, I am trusting you. There are 12-step plans, even in the family of God. Self-help for Christians. While I was studying this, I got to thinking, and I did a Google search on these three words, Christian self-help. There was 758 million hits. Sounded to me like there's a whole lot of Christians trying to find out how to do better themselves. I'll tell you what, those 758 million hits were probably useless, because self-help doesn't work. His help's what we need. His power's what we need. His touch's what we need. And we can only have that when we submit to Him. And Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit, listen, how you like this, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Sign me up for all them. I want them. And he said the only way you can demonstrate these things in your life is for the Spirit of God to control you. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the evidence that the Spirit's controlling your life will be love. Will be joy, will be meekness, will be temperance. You want those things. You can't get them by determining. You get them by surrendering to He who is God and letting Him take control. Can't bypass God. I'm talking about saints who are struggling, wanting to be holy and finding out it's not working. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul said, for by the grace of God, I am what I am. You want to know what Paul was? You know what made Paul what he was? God's grace through him. He said, look at me, but don't look at me. Look at him, because everything I am, it's because He's working through me. He didn't try and bypass God. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him. I am helped. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. When I trust Him, I get help. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3, waiting patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me. He said, I cried to the Lord and waited on Him because I knew He was my only hope. What else could I do? Where else could I go? What else could I try? I tried everything, but I cried to Him and waited on Him. And He inclined unto me. He heard me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He said, I was in the bog and mire of shell. I was helpless and hopeless, but I called on my God, and He heard me, and He set me on a firm path. a secure place, and he steadied me as I walked, and he's given me now a song in my heart and praises unto him for what he's done. And he said, that ain't all. Others will see, and they'll trust my God because they see God working through me. I don't know where he at, but I can tell you this, you need God. You need his help. There's no way you can bypass him and get the help you need. You may be a sinner who's searching. I'm going to tell you, the only place you'll find the help I'm talking about is God, Calvary. You may be a saved who's scared. You don't want your loved ones going to hell. That's a good, commendable process of thought. But you can't make them. You better bombard heaven and ask him to touch them. You may be a servant who's struggling and trying the best you can. It's not working so good. I want to tell you, heaven's a place you need to run to and trust in, depend on. You may be a saint who's struggling. You don't know how to be happy, helpful, or holy. I'll tell you, you can't without God. Bottom line, I'm done, I think. Any person in this building, including me, our only hope is going to the one who can do what we can't do. And stop trying on our own. Stop trying on our own. Stop trying. It ain't working anyway, so stop trying it. And go to the one who can. And he'll talk to you first. Because there's probably some things we need to hear. And he'll deal with the issue. And there'll be some change. Stand together. I'm done. I've just bounced around like a ping pong ball with my thoughts. Gail, if you can come. I just want to say our only hope and our only need is God. Will you come this morning, whatever the need might be? For you, Father, please speak to hearts. There's some folks here, good folks, godly folks, and we're flesh, we're human, and you made it to where our best won't be good enough, and our best won't work. So I pray, Lord, that you'd bring people to the end themselves right here, right now. And may they come and say, Lord, here I am. I give you my nothing. I give you my worthlessness, I give you my failure. And Lord, you work, you have your will. Help me to trust you, help me to obey you. And I rely on you. God, please move on people to do just that. Maybe there's somebody that needs to be saved. Draw them, Lord, and save them today. Well, I'll thank you for it. Give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.